Christmas is going to be like. And, you know, I think what Don said was very poignant, that what matters most is that we take the time to really appreciate the blessings that we have been given, because God has truly blessed us. That's what we're going to kind of talk about this morning. We're continuing our series on Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. We talked about in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. We looked at those things, and this morning we're going to be looking at born under the law to redeem those under the law. But it might be helpful to remind us of a little bit of history when we think of being born under the law. The first act of Genesis is God creating the heavens and the earth. He created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, but on the sixth day He created man. And before He rested on the seventh day, it says, God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was what? Anybody remember? It was very good. Yeah, that's right. So do you think God created Adam and Eve bad? I don't think so. God looked at everything that He had made, including Adam and Eve, and He said it was very good. But after Genesis chapter 1 came Genesis chapter 3, right? And in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned against God, disobeyed God. Paul reminds us in Romans, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. And that was the promise that God told Adam and Eve, that when they ate of that tree, that they would die. And so far, that's been true of every single person that's lived on this earth, save two people. They've died. And that is our fate as well, unless the Lord returns before then. And so Adam fell, and with Adam, all of humankind. Death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And so Paul in Romans chapter 5 tells us that the law was brought in to impute sin. But before we get to the law, another very important event happened in history, and that is that Abraham received a promise from God. After the Tower of Babel, God focused in on Abraham. He appeared to Abraham and He said this, "The Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." God gave this promise to Abraham that through his seed, that there would be a blessing for all people. Well, about 400 years later, Abraham's descendants, Isaac, and then Jacob and Jacob's children went down into Egypt for about 400 years. And then they were being brought out of Egypt by Moses, who led them to Mount Sinai. And that is where Moses received the law. And it says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And so Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And so Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." And so Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And so we have the people are under the law. It was an agreement between God and the children of Israel that they would obey Him and He would rule over them. He would take care of them. He would help them. He would be their God. And they said, "Yes, we will obey you." Just one problem. Did they do it? Not well. That's a good answer. Not well. Most of the time, they did not do it. Right? They might have done some of the time on the surface, but they really didn't make God their God. They really just kind of continued in disobedience. So, what does the law do? What is the purpose of the law? One of the things that the law does is it reveals God's holiness. Psalm 19:7, David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The law of the Lord is perfect. In Leviticus chapter 19, this is the giving of the law. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. And therefore, everyone who eats of it will bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people." Now, I wanted to read that passage because I want you to see where the law comes from, right? God is giving us his commandments, but they're not arbitrary, right? They're based in God's holiness. The law reveals how God is holy, and he wants us to be holy. We were talking about holy this week in our Wednesday night truth trackers. And we were talking about, what does the word holy mean? Right? It means set apart. God is set apart. Right? He is perfect. And he wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be perfect and holy as he is. But just as the law reveals God's holiness, it also reveals man's sinfulness. Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children from whom I..." Oh, that's not the verse I wanted. The law reveals our sin. I'm not sure exactly. Oh, I remember what verse. That's okay. We'll move on. The law reveals our sin, and the law brings a curse. Galatians 3:10-12 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all of that which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So God brought on the law to reveal His holiness so that we could be like Him. And in Deuteronomy 28, there's a list of blessings and curses, right? Blessed for the family, blessing for the city, blessings upon blessings if we obey God. But if we do not obey God, many, many, many curses are listed out in Deuteronomy 28. And so when we do not obey the law brings a curse on us. That's a serious problem that we have. The other problem that we have is that the law does not redeem. Now, we all like a good redemption story, right? We love a good redemption story. But the law does not have any story of redemption. The law only reveals our sinfulness. Think about this. I have a beautiful wife, right? Everybody would agree with that. Very kind, hardworking wife. And she is a great blessing to me. But oftentimes what I do to repay her for her kindness and generosity and blessing is complain, right? Ignore. You know, I don't treat her with the amount of love that I should. And when I, let's say, for example, maybe are harsh with my wife, and I maybe say something that's mean to her, or, you know, voice my displeasure over a meal or something like that, right? And she takes an offense. I know you guys don't have any problems with that, so this is just between me and her. And she takes an offense, right? How can I undo that offense? Let's say I were to lie to my wife, right? That would not be a good thing at all. And I were to lie to her. And God's word says, "You shall not lie." And I lied to her. How can I undo that offense? How can I make myself good again? In her eyes, in the law's eyes. James 2:10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." Even if I decided from now on I am going to be perfect, I'm never going to lie to my wife, I'm never going to be mean to my wife, I'm never going to say a mean thing to her, I'm going to treat her exactly the way that she should be treated. I'm going to love her and protect her and be kind to her. Even if from now on I determine to do that, I still have this offense over me. The law cannot undo that offense. There's no way to go back and undo it. It's done. I cannot become good by keeping the rest of the law. But what if I receive Christ by faith? Can the law help me become better? If I get an initial forgiveness, can then I follow the law and be perfected by the law? Well, the answer to that question is no. I gotta figure out where I got lost here. Okay, here we go. Galatians 3, 1 through 4. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?
here the Galatians are saying, you know what? Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I definitely needed Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. But now that I got my sins forgiven, now I can follow the law. And now I can become a good person. I can just obey all the rules. And I'll be great. And God will be very happy with me. And Paul says that's foolishness. That's foolishness. It doesn't work. The law does not make us better. It only reveals how sinful and how wicked our heart really is. Can the law in any way improve our goodness? The answer is no. Galatians 2:14 through 16 says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.'" We can never look at all the rules and say, well, I followed this one, this one, this one, and this one, so I'm a good person. Right? It's kind of like going to your wife and say, well, I was good to you this time, this time, this time, and this time, and so I'm a good husband. Right? Forget all those other times. Is that how it works? No, that's not how it works. The law cannot redeem us. And so that's why Christ came. He came and was born under the law so that he could save those who were under the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse through faith. Galatians 4:13 through 14 says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." I think that's the wrong verse. Hold on just a second. It's actually verses, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians. There we go. Yes, here we go. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Christ redeemed us from the curse that was upon us so that we might have that curse removed. And he did that by going to the cross. He took our punishment. He took away our curse. What we deserved. Our destiny. Our bad luck. Our wickedness. He became that for us. Remember, Adam and Eve were created to have unity and relationship with God. But it was their sin that separated them from God. It was their iniquity that made him hide his face. And Christ came so that God could again have relationship with us. But that relationship will never come through your goodness. It'll never come through your ability to say, "Man, I made it. I've really been perfected by my own efforts, by my own glory. Christ is the one who became a curse for us so that we could have that relationship with God reunited. And He supplies us His Spirit, which is our guarantee. Galatians 3:1-6 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Or are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, where does our justification come from? It comes from Christ, who supplies us His Spirit. And we receive His Spirit by what? By faith. It's not of our works. There's nothing that we can do to become better. The only thing we can do is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Christ, actually, Romans 8:1-2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I want to read that again. There is therefore now no condemnation. And you might be saying, Pastor, I feel condemnation. Right? When I'm harsh with my wife, I don't feel good about that. And I know God doesn't feel good about that. And I'm sure that you have sin in your life that you don't feel good about. Can you put that verse back up? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? Who are in Christ Jesus. Am I in Christ Jesus when I'm mistreating my wife? Is that what He desires for me? Am I in His will? Am I in His blessing? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the life of the, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is going on here? You see, we have a choice to make. Every single day we get up, we have a choice to make. Are we going to be under the law, or are we going to live under faith? Through the law, Scripture has confined all under sin. Galatians 3:19-22 says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed, Christ, should come to whom the promise was made, Abraham, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who do what? To those who believe. So the purpose of the law was because there is sin in the world, sin needs to be identified so that when the promise came, we could receive life. Because what does the law do? It points out our sin, which brings what? Our sin brings death, right? The wages of sin is death. And so the law, through the law, Scripture has confined all under sin. And that is where we stand, except for one thing, that those who believe, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, can be forgiven. What is the purpose of the law? It is to confine all under sin and to bring us to faith in Christ. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, he said, the healthy don't need a doctor, right? But I came to heal. Jesus is our healer. People who are proud, people who say, oh, I'm good, you know, I'm a good person, they don't need healing, right? Now, you do have a checkup every once in a while, but most of the part, you don't go to the doctor when you're feeling great. You go to the doctor when you're feeling what? What? Not great. Thank you. Sick, right? You go to the doctor when you're feeling sick, when you recognize there's something in me that is not the way it's supposed to be. And that's what the law does. It points to our heart and says, there's something in me that is not the way it's supposed to be. And that's what Christ came to heal. And that healing comes through faith. Galatians 3, 22 through 25 says, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. And therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Whoa, wait a second. Let's read that again. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Right? A tutor is somebody who helps people learn something, helps people realize what they're supposed to be learning. And the law is teaching us, you are not a good person. If you really think about it, you're not a good person, because a good person is somebody who never messes up, who never sins. There's only one good person. Well, three persons in one, and that's God. Only God is good. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. How are we justified? By asking God to forgive us of our sins and then living a perfect life? No. We are justified by trusting in Jesus, following Jesus, communing with Jesus, obeying Jesus, by faith, recognizing that He is our Lord. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're no longer under the law. Well, wait a second. What are we doing here then, right? Why are we in church if we're no longer under the law? What is our purpose? It's to glorify God. It's to love Him. The scoreboard's thrown away. We're just playing for fun now. Jesus came and He forgave our sins. If we put our faith in Him, He has forgiven us. He's not keeping score anymore. But He wants you
to be blessed. That's the history, right? Man's sin, and God has been putting this plan together so that everyone could no longer be under the curse, but be under God's blessing. And that is the choice that each one of us have to make. Do we want to live in God's blessing, or do we want to live under God's curse? And you might say, well, Pastor, I've already received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm no longer under the curse. Well, you might not be under the eternal curse. You might have received eternal life. But is there consequences of disobedience? Does the Lord discipline those he loves? Yes, he does. And so that's the choice we make. We can serve Jesus with our heart and soul and love him and be blessed by him. Or, as our father did when we were younger, we can disobey, walk in disobedience, and receive his wrath, his just wrath. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is you who have ordained light to shine out of darkness. And Lord, there are times of our life when things are dark. There are times in our life when we're not even willing to admit how dark they are. But Lord, it's you who want to shine a light into our heart to illuminate the sin, not so we can feel horrible about it, although we should. But your purpose is to shine a light on it so that it can be dealt with and eliminated, and that we can walk in your blessings. Your great desire is for us to be united with you. But you cannot unite with sin. And so your Son, in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, perfectly God, and yet born of a woman, perfectly man, but without sin, so that he could be that mediator, that go-between, that for us allows us to be reunited with you. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who has never yet received your Son as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would do that this morning. And I pray that in their heart of hearts they would just say, Lord, you know I have sinned against you. You know I deserve the penalty that's coming to me, which is eternal death. But I want to live. I want your life. I want the eternal life that you have offered to all who will put their faith and trust in you. And I desire that, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to walk under your blessing, under your headship. I want to serve you with my life. Please forgive me of my sin. Please give me your Spirit to help me to walk according to your ways. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here this morning, or maybe it's been a while since they've had some serious time in prayer. Maybe it's been a while, or maybe they've just made some mistakes. Lord, we know from your word that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful to forgive. You're not a God up in heaven waiting for us to mess up so he can bolt us with lightning, but you're a God who seeks to forgive, seeks to restore, seeks to love. And Lord, I know there's people in here this morning, because I'm one of them, who can come humbly before you and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins.
I've made Jesus my Lord, but I have not always lived the way that I should. Lord, I desire to experience the fullness of joy, which is living in your presence, having my sins forgiven, and knowing your goodness. Lord, I want to live for you, not because the law says so, but because you are good, you are holy, and you have a good purpose for my life, and I want to see it. I want to see it on this earth, in this life. Please forgive me and help me to live the way you want me to live. We can only do it by the strength of your Spirit. We cannot do it in our flesh. So teach us to listen to your Spirit and to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.